B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Guys, 6-7-1. They look different. They look quicker. They look more decisive. They're getting outside shooting. And tonight, a semi-test, even though Kevin Durant will not play for the Nets. It's a back-to-back. So for more information on how this team is playing and how they're being looked at right now, the man's been doing a great job covering the Sixers for The Athletic with a lot of insight, a lot of film study. He is Rich Hoffman. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline. Bounce forward. Hello, Rich.
Hey, Mike.
You have been very high on this squad in the early going. Tell me why.
I mean, they are playing pretty well. I guess the one caveat I would say is that they haven't really played anybody that's great yet. I should say, too, they haven't played anybody who is projected to be great. You know, there are some teams like the Knicks and the Magic who, to be fair, some of the other contenders are not beating. The Hornets, they killed the Mavericks. So they've had what I would say is kind of a cushy schedule so far, Mike. But they are they're killing a lot of these teams. I know last night's game was a little bit of a weird one. I don't know what they were doing against Bradley Beal, but they still found a way to win. And I have to say, like, for a team that I thought was going to take a little while to gel with all of these new pieces and almost zero practice time, it's been about as good as I can imagine so far.
All right, what do you see that's different, that pops right out at you?
The main thing that I see is the space, and it's what we were talking about before the season. You never know how these things are going to play out. I think, like, when they throw the ball into Joel Embiid in the post, it's jarring how much easier it is compared to last year. I mean, even previous years as well, you know, they had Jimmy Butler the year before, but that team's spacing was so-so. I mean, they throw it in Embiid, Mike, and they get a great shot every time. Now, you might say, well, let's see what happens when they face some of the better defenses in the league, you know, in smoking Charlotte and Washington, and I would say that's fine. That's fair. But from Embiid's passing to how he looks scoring one-on-one, the basic formula of Embiid surrounded by Seth Curry, Tobias Harris, and Danny Green has been unbelievable. It's been better and cleaner than it's been since Joel got here. So that would be the first thing that stands out.
All right. What do they, like, the Ben Simmons problem has been kind of like, I don't know, not glossed over, but easier to take. And last year, they needed more offense from him because they didn't have these other components. They seem to be scoring a lot more easily, especially in a half-court set. Are you seeing progress with him the way he's playing? Can they pull it off with him kind of being the same non-shooting guy?
I'm not so sure about that, Mike. I mean, you know, we've talked about this long enough. There is a difference between early in the regular season basketball and playoff basketball. And, you know, from Ben, I don't see a ton different in his, like, process and how he's trying to score. You know, he shoots the three against Orlando on New Year's Eve. And before, you know, I knew it when he made it. You know, we're not going to see another one of those for a few weeks, you know. And it's just really not a part of his game. He's not really getting to the free throw line all that much. So that's not different. I mean, like, look, he's a part of the number one ranked defense in the league, and that's how they were supposed to play last year. You know, pretty good offense, great defense, and I would say, besides the fact that Doc Rivers would not put him on Bradley Beal last night for some weird reason, he has been as good as he was last year on defense. Like, a lot of really strong performances against the other team's best players. But offensively, I don't think what we're seeing, I think it's more Embiid and shooting-centric than what we're getting from him.
A lot of people I saw on social media watching the game made the comment they would have lost that game last year. They let the other team come back in. They kind of lost their grip on it. But then they seized it back, which a lot of people didn't see last year. Is that a difference that you see?
I'm not sure I buy that yet. I mean, they won some weird games last season. I will say, like, the vibe around the team, and I can't be in the locker room anymore because of COVID protocols and everything, but it sure seems like the team enjoys playing. You know, say what you want about Dwight Howard and Danny Green, but they seem to have imparted some sort of veteran vibe. Now, I mean, the test for these things are always what happens when there's real adversity when they're playing somebody. Like, what happens when they lose a couple of games in a row? And they are going to lose a couple of games in a row. At some point, their schedule is about to get tougher, although it's a lot of home games. So, you know, they don't lose at home for some reason.
Yeah. All right, let's look at the bench. I originally thought they were a player short on the bench, and they still might be. But they have gotten consistent play from Shake Milton off the bench. Howard has gotten his minutes, and he has certainly hasn't hurt them. Maxey's energy has been interesting, and I'm curious to know if Furkan Korkmaz comes back, how that situation will be altered.
It's a good question, and I would say, like, when we were just talking about the energy, I think Maxey is a non-small part of that. Like, the idea of a new player, a rookie coming off the bench, and just doing exciting things, whether that's getting to the cup or getting up in a guy's shirt and playing him 94 feet of defense, there is a degree of energy that I think is infectious on the entire team. And for the, I don't know, what was he, the 20th, 21st pick, whatever Maxey was, he certainly seems like he has a chance to be a pretty good player. Is he one right now? I don't know if I buy his shooting yet, Mike. You know, he's really passing up a lot of these shots, and that's key for these second units. But, like, you know, here's the thing. Korkmaz, if he is not making shots, then he serves relatively no purpose on the team. And I think he can make shots, and that's important. If Maxey is not making shots, though, he can do other things to help the team. So that's a question. And, you know, like, Matisse Thybulle, I would imagine Maxey is ahead of him. Like, I'm still worried about his offense. But, yeah, like, your question on could Maxey move ahead of Korkmaz? Yeah, I think that's certainly in play, if not positively sure yet.
All right, tell me about Tobias. Yeah, a lot of people go, oh, finally he's found it. I'm very skeptical of that. Does he look like he's changed in any way to you? And at age 28... finally has arrived to be the consistent number two scorer, actually.
I share your skepticism moving forward just because of what we saw in last year's playoffs and a little bit the year before. You know, he didn't really step up to the occasion on either of those chances for him. I will say, though, he's playing lights out right now. And okay, maybe that changes when they start playing better teams, but the quick decision-making, he's firing threes. He's actually, like, making some strong defensive plays. Like, he had a game against Toronto a couple weeks ago, Mike, where, like, his defensive rotations were unbelievable, and they won, you know, a really ugly game, which I would argue that's the game they don't win last year, against Toronto last week when they just don't shoot it well. And he's playing some of the best ball in his life. So, you know, we were told before the season by a lot of the optimists and the hopeful people, okay, like, Doc Rivers is the Tobias Harris whisperer, you know, the 50 games he played in Los Angeles were the best of his career. And I was a little bit skeptical. I'm still not 100% on board, but, you know, the start of the season has been fantastic for him.
All right. When will we get an actual read, do you think? How long will we get a read?
Yeah, I'd say in the next couple weeks. You know, they're starting to play, you know, the Denvers, the Atlantas. They've home back-to-backs against Miami and Boston. And I will say, like, you know, despite the fact that the Sixers have not played a very tough schedule, a lot of these other teams are losing dumb games along the way. Like, the NBA, obviously, like, it's the NBA. Anybody can beat anybody on a given night. I almost saw the 10-win Sixers beat the Warriors team that won 73 games. Like, that game was close. Still, like, if you look at the results from night to night, it just doesn't make any sense. And it is strange to see the Sixers being the team that is taking care of business. So I would say, like, if what we've seen from the first couple weeks goes forward here, like, I think they're going to play well. I mean, they had the clean offense, and they are starting to defend at the level that they need to. But they got to prove it.
Okay. Sounds good, Rich. Are you feeling them tonight? Is Tyrone is not feeling them tonight on back-to-back.
I was feeling them, Mike, but the Nets won by, like, 80 the other night without Durant.
Yeah.
I'm going to say I'm not feeling them tonight.
Mm-hmm. So this could be, all right, I get it. Well, you can take this loss. It's back-to-back. We can justify that. All right, sounds good, Rich. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, Mike.
Rich Hoffman, Comcast Business Hotline. Bounce forward.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.